Welcome to Foodie Time. I'm Jay Fettigan, and in this episode, I talk with the head chef at a plant-based meat company. They make a product called My Bacon, and Nick gives us some recipes and some suggestions about things to do with the product. Talks about some of his successes. He talks about some of his not-so-successful meals that he's made with it, and his journey from a chef to working in this company, working with research scientists. But first, I had to start off with asking him, like I do with many people, how to pronounce his last name. And I really enjoyed his answer. Oh, and how do you pronounce your last name?
Rosito.
Rosito, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was Rosito or Rosito.
Yeah, pretty sure it's Rosito. My family grew up saying that, so.
Oh, no.
A lot of people say Rosito.
Well, hi, Nick. Thanks a lot for being on Foodie Time. And this is such an interesting topic that I don't think that many people really know that much about, although you hear about plant-based meats. And rather than me talk about it, can you tell me a little bit, kind of a general primer on the industry, just so people even understand what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah. So I started out working in restaurants like 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened by chance to meet Eben and Lacey from Ecovative, and they were growing mycelium about 10 minutes from the restaurant I was running. And
mycelium, just so people who might not know?
It's the root of a mushroom. Great. So when they first approached me 4 years ago, I had no idea what it was either.
Mm-hmm.
They just came into the restaurant. They used to eat there. They knew I was, you know, a decent chef. So they approached me and said, hey, do you want to try to make this mycelium food? So they'd give me like one, like 2x3 panel every week, and I'd bring it back to the restaurant and try to make it taste good. So that was my introduction to mycelium. And they ended up turning it into like a bacon product. So that's how I got involved in plant-based food.
And, you know, I have to admit that I've tried some plant-based meat products and, you know, have not been inspired to ever buy them again. But with my bacon, you know, I'm going to say if you can, like I eat bacon, so it's not bacon, but if you can certainly use it in a lot of ways. You need a smoky, salty kind of meat that you're going to put into something.
Yeah.
It really works great for that.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I've tried a bunch of plant-based stuff and I don't love it.
Right.
So like I've had a couple Impossible Whoppers, like that tastes good to me, but the other stuff isn't great. So the product we make is actually something I get behind and I think, you know, it can make a huge impact.
Yeah.
And the thing that gets me is that it takes 2 weeks to grow. So if you think about how much time and money it costs to raise a pig over months and months and months.
Right.
We can do it in 2 weeks. And get a very similar product.
Yeah, and tell me about what that, what is the technology like for this? Do you have large warehouses where you have growing areas, or how does it work?
Yeah, they have vertical farms where they're able to grow like thousands of pounds a week, and then they pass it over to us in the kitchen, and we process it using minimal ingredients. So it's a lot of stuff you'd find in your home kitchen: sugar, salt, liquid smoke.
Right. I was going to ask you how you got that smoky flavor in it, if you actually were able to smoke it somehow or if you use another ingredient.
Yeah, just for the amount we're trying to do production on, it makes more sense just to add the flavoring, which a lot of people do. So,
from what I understand, this, My Bacon, which is the product, it's selling like gangbusters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. We started in a little store in Albany. And we were selling a ton of cases there, and then they got into Whole Foods, and they can't keep it on the shelves.
Yeah,
so I mean, pretty awesome.
That's great. So it's certainly a growing field. But along with that, I'm sure there are a lot of challenges expanding the business and the business model to fit a business that's growing exponentially.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like the one thing I like, though, whatever the challenges are, we're focused on taste first. So we have to have a product that tastes good. And then, you know, the rest,
right.
You know, we have to figure out to make sure we can get to as many people as we can.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure all the standards and everything that you have to use are going to be food grade standards in terms of cleanliness and, you know, the grow facilities.
Yeah, it was definitely intimidating for me at first, coming from a restaurant background and then going into somewhere where you have to, you know, full head to toe, you know, gown on, proper procedure to get in the room. And now they're starting to get more high-end equipment to make the production easier. So it's actually really cool to learn about that side of production.
Now, after you take the roots basically off of the, what happens to the mushrooms?
I'm not a mushroom scientist. The one thing I'm really good at is making stuff taste good.
Right.
So from what I know, it's the roots grow. They can grow them in these really long, wide panels.
Right.
And then they press them. And when they come to me to try to turn them into a food product, they look exactly like a pork belly.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's pretty easy to go from the slab of mycelium mushroom root they gave me to making like a pork product.
Now, what do you use for fats and oils and any of that stuff? I imagine there must be some of that in there.
Yeah, so we haven't been able to get the fat to grow into the mycelium, but it's packaged in a flavored coconut oil. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to add any, you know, oils at home. You just open the pack and there's enough for each slice to cook properly. Mm-hmm. And it actually makes a lot less of a mess than if you were to cook like a pound of pork bacon. Mm-hmm. So you're not left with all the grease.
And coconut oil is a pretty tasty ingredient too that you can use. I mean, there are a lot of oils that are probably cheaper. That's what I was asking about. What do you do? At least it sounds like you're starting with something that anybody would use versus some other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just refined coconut oil, so it doesn't have the coconut flavor. And then we add a little liquid smoke in there, so when you put it in the pan, you get the aroma.
Mm-hmm.
I've cooked it in like grapeseed or canola oil, and it comes out pretty good. Olive oil, not so much. You get a little too much of the bitterness.
Right.
But the coconut oil actually looks like bacon fat in the package.
So what kind of, I imagine you experiment a lot and make a lot of interesting meals and recipes with my bacon. Can you talk about like what are some of your favorites?
Yeah. So when actually something fun I did when they first approached me, I've been with the company 4 years. Mm-hmm. I was still at the restaurant. They would host, they call them Feast of the Futures at the restaurant when we were closed. And they'd bring in investors and people that were interesting. And I'd cook like a 5-course tasting menu where mycelium was the feature of every course. Hmm. So we made like tagliatelle pasta out of the mycelium. Yeah. We did like little baked clams casino. I even poached it in simple syrup and made like a sugar cone to be a like a low carb replacement for a dessert option.
Wow. And how did those go over? What was it like?
Awesome. I mean, people were super pumped on it. And I think that's where they were able to show people like what we can make this mycelium into. And that's, they were able to get funding through some of these dinners.
Nice. Now, one thing I've got to imagine, and you don't answer this if you don't want to, but I would suspect when you're trying something like that, you've got to have some hits, but there have to be some misses too. I mean, is there anything that you're trying?
My cooking life is a ton of misses. And that's how you learn how to get the hit. Like, I've ruined so much stuff. And they're like everybody I work, you know, all my managers and coworkers have been super brave to try anything I've put in front of them. We all eat it together. A little adventure.
Can you share a couple of epic misses?
We were trying to do like pork loins, but it was challenging to get the flavoring in the middle. And it just had, the product's definitely better sliced thin. Like I think we'll be able to, with some new technology, get the flavor throughout, but it was just watching people bite into this sponge that I probably didn't have enough like total flavor on was, you know, tough to watch. But then, you know, it's the brotherhood of people who tried something pretty gross.
No, it's, you know, so how do you, what recipes do you have? How would you recommend that if people, one, it's, you can't, it's still fairly limited in terms of your distribution, I understand, right? So you can't
I think we're in over 600 stores and we've made it to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely in there, the specialty markets. Mm-hmm. The best way to try it is a BLT. Like the stuff tastes awesome out of a pan, but when you put it with a fresh tomato and, you know, a good amount of mayonnaise, mm-hmm. it's awesome. And that's how we really convert people when they try the BLT.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And you know, near future, far future, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I've been working on other flavors and other products. Like we've worked on like a beef jerky product, mm-hmm. which is something we can use the scraps for.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like how traditional bacon, they make bacon bits.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm always thinking, but right now just still hyper-focused on making the bacon the best we can and getting it into as many stores as possible.
What do you see if you were to predict or look at 4 or 5 years down the road?
For our product, I think it's awesome because like a lot of the other products, they are extruded or just like an emulsification of a ton of ingredients. Mm-hmm. We're an actual like unique product that you could flavor almost like tofu.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So just right now we're just need to grow more and it'll be really interesting. I think when more chefs can get it in their hands to see what they do with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the restaurant, it's a very like collaborative mm-hmm. industry right now. I'm the only person that comes from like a restaurant background and I work with a lot of food scientists. So it's different bouncing ideas off of food scientists than it is another creative person in the kitchen.
So the food scientists, they're handling the technical, the growing, getting the product to you in a form that you can work with it.
Yeah. Like I'll try something flavor wise that mm-hmm. tastes good, but they have to figure out how to do it at scale and replicate it. So I think I'm really good at taking the big swings mm-hmm. and then they tune it up, make it something.
So, sounds like a great job.
Yeah, it's awesome. I never thought in a million years I'd have a job like this. Our biggest problem is keeping it in the stores.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this has been great. I mean, is there something that we haven't talked about? Do you have something in mind? I mean, you know way more about the product and about the industry than I do.
As somebody who only worked in restaurants, it's mm-hmm. interesting to learn what else is out there. Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know there were research chefs and
right.
Like you have no idea. And I've gotten like pretty cool opportunities here to work with, you know, places I've like big franchises never think I'd work with, and just getting to see how everything works is really, really cool. Good experience. What are you drinking?
Oh, I'm just having a little Chardonnay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's
just
cool.
A little taste. It's
I like Chardonnay for the foodie type.
Usually I drink Prosecco. I find it's a really good thing for it keeps my voice nice and you know, loose and easy. It's very, you know, thirst quenching, and you know all I had on hand was some Chardonnay.
Uh-huh. One of the first restaurant bosses I had, I knew how my day was going to go when I got to work at 11, how many glasses of Chardonnay he had drank.
Wow.
I learned a lot from him in retrospect.
Yes.
It's like everything you can talk about restaurants. Nobody ever talks about the retirement plan. Like there's no way out.
The only people that I knew who made money in the restaurant business was, I grew up around the New York area, and my father was had a friend who had a sports restaurant right in, it was like Central Park West or something, right down in the beautiful neighborhood. It was your typical, you know, 70s, 80s New York steakhouse.
Huh?
And every night, he just would clean out the register and keep it in his pocket.
Yeah.
And my father said he'd probably get 60, 70% of his income.
Uh-huh.
You know, tax exempt. So, you know, I know that seems to be the only way you can make money if you own a restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay.
Great meeting you. Bye.
Well, Nick is certainly on the leading edge when it comes to developing new food products, and I really enjoyed talking with him and found it pretty interesting, too. Well, until next time, this is Jay Fettigan for Foodie Time.